Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. As the announcer said, a passionate show that helps you take control of your genes to live at the highest quality ever. One of the interesting stories this week came from a friend, Patrick Cox. Patrick studies the literature and writes a journal called Technology Digest out of Malden Economics. You can go to Patrick Cox Tech Digest to see it. COX is his last name. And he always has interesting stories. He's one of the people who's very interested in aging research. And he said, you know, I'm now taking a quart of beet juice a day, a pint every 6 hours, if you will, throughout the day, because there's some beginning research or research that this age-old thing, and why do I say it's age-old? Because the Russian athletes used to drink beet juice before all of their performances, and no one knew why, but they said it seemed to help them with energy, and I haven't seen that done at most recent Olympics, but they were doing this at the Olympics way back in the 60s, and it was a old Ukrainian or maybe Romanian or maybe Lithuanian or Latvian drink called borscht, B-O-R-S-C-H-T, I think is the way you spell it. And what it does is it has a very high nitric oxide content. Let me get that. It's not nitric oxide, but it provides nitric oxide precursors. And you use that nitric oxide gas. That's what dilates your arteries. It's what allows you to have better blood flow in a muscle. For example, when you start using your leg muscle, you release this nitric oxide locally. It allows the artery to dilate. It brings in extra oxygen and nutrients. It takes all those that you have and gets rid of them. So it's a really very good thing. That's what's called the precursor of nitric oxide. And beets have a high level of what's called bioavailable nitrate in them, which is a precursor to this. Now, what we know, and just so you know, it is arginine, which is the immediate precursor, doesn't appear to work because your stomach and intestinal tract don't absorb it, but citrulline, high in watermelon. So I've often said that watermelon is the best thing for erectile dysfunction. Why? And that goes for women as well as men, because it gives that nitric oxide, and that nitric oxide allows dilation of arteries in your sex organs, which allow erections to be harder and more sustained, and allows orgasms in women to be of higher quality with more lubrication, etc. But in any case, it also is important for dilation of blood vessels in your heart and in your muscles and forever. And we lose some of our nitric oxide, our what we call constituent nitric oxide, as we get older. The inducible kind still stays there. What do I mean by that? It's why us, as we get older, take longer for warm-ups and longer for that periods. So you need that nitric oxide gas, and you need to get the inducible kind because you don't have as much. You lose the kind that's always there as you get older. Well, it turns out beet juice may be a way of maintaining that, and he quotes several of the articles in his article, and when you look them up, they're very excellent scientific articles showing that beetroot juice and exercise, that you get there's a specific amount that's the equivalent to the amount in about a pint of beet juice. If you have that every 12 hours, it lasts about 4 hours to a peak and then dissipates over 12 hours. So he's chosen to have this every 6 hours. we don't know if there's tachyphylaxis to it. What do I mean by tachyphylaxis? If you keep having it, you don't get the same effect, and maybe you should only have it periodically. But in any case, and we don't know that because the studies haven't been done. There's another nice study on it in the Cardiology Journal. Acute dietary nitrate intake improves muscle contractile fashion in patients with heart failure, a double-blind placebo-controlled trial out of Washington University School of Medicine, an excellent school of medicine in St. Louis. And they looked at a double-blind, placebo-controlled, randomized crossover design of dietary nitrate, which is the beetroot juice, if you will, and they showed an 11% increase in power of the muscle. Now, this was a short period of time. It was just overnight in these people, so we don't know whether it builds up over time, whether it dissipates over time. But in any case, Dr. Cox has said that he believes that he's got ability to exercise more because of this. So whether it is just a psychological effect, or whether beetroot juice really does improve long-term stamina, we don't know. But in any case, it's one of the things that we will learn. It's a natural substance, obviously, beetroot juice, and it comes from, it's in the borscht, if you will. So getting borscht is a way of getting this beetroot juice and getting the benefits, if there are any. And as we said, it may be one of the great things at improving sex performance that's natural, that and watermelon. But it also may be important at decreasing your decrease in nitric oxide in your arteries function as you get older. So it may help you to really exercise better because you'll get better blood flow to those muscles. So it is something to think about if you're an exerciser or in competition, and it is something to consider. So that's one of the very interesting stories. I'm going to run through a bunch of other stories in the next 3 minutes before the break, and then again after the break before we have our special guest. But we have a special guest today. That guest at the bottom of the hour is TV celebrity chef Amanda Freitag. She's going to be talking about, she's on the Food Network's Chopped, and is going to be talking about managing food allergies. She has one herself and has learned to manage it, so she's going to talk to us about that. Amanda Freitag, managing food allergies at the bottom of the hour. In the meantime, let's whip through a bunch of these stories. And by the way, if you get our subscribe, if you send me a note saying subscribe, UDOGS, YOUDOGS at gmail.com, YOUDOGS at gmail.com, if you put subscribe in the subject line, you'll get our order of the show, usually 3 or 4 hours before the show. You'll see what you want to turn into. But it also has much more detail. It has the rest of the story, as they say. And so the story that I was going to lead off the second hour with is Get 'Em Dirty, How a Study Links Asthma to Low Levels of Gut Bacteria in the Newborn. This is a quick study done. It's a well-done study looking at asthma and why it's increased. It's increased from about 3 to 8% of our youth. Why? It shows that the more bacteria and the more diverse bacteria you have in the first 100 days as a newborn, the lower your risk of asthma. So that's an important finding. How do you get it? You avoid C-section, or if you do, you avoid antibiotics beforehand, and you give probiotics to both the mother and, if you can, have them around the child. When the mother gets the probiotic, the variety of bacteria and eats fermented foods, the child gets it naturally. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well.
more of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Presented by the Radio MD Network.
Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. And we hope you are staying well, which is the call for Radio MD and taking control of your genes so you can live at the top of your curve, because that's the goal of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Your genes are yours. We don't have a way of changing them yet, but we do have a way of you're turning them on or not, and all they are is protein factories, so it should be able to be under your control, and I hope you are taking control of your genes. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, we went through in the first hour a whole bunch of stories relating to weight, and I'm going to recap one or two of those now. First, it's official. Every state and territory in the United States has gained weight in the past 5 years. They do a survey of a lot of people every year now, and this one is for 2014's data. Every state has people over 20% obese. So Colorado, which was the one state that didn't, now everyone's obese. The average in the United States, over 30% of the population is obese. How do you decrease weight loss, or how do you get more weight loss or decrease weight gain? Turns out you eat non-starchy vegetables. That is cruciferous vegetables like broccoli and, if you will, the watercress, kale, the other crucifers. That are non-starchy, don't turn to sugar fast, seem to be, two of those a day, seem to be excellent ways of decreasing weight gain. And the other way is avoiding things that are endocrine disruptors, like BPA, BPS, phthalates, in food and in packaging and in perspirants and cosmetics, etc. These all seem to disrupt your endocrine system, which make you more hungry. They do something with the control of insulin. No one knows what. They do a lot with control of estrogen and testosterone, and somehow they'll get you to be hungrier and gain weight. So the data is avoid the endocrine disruptors. The Endocrine Society of America, the American physician group called the Endocrine Society of America, came out this week saying you should do everything you can. What's the most important thing you can do? As far as we know, guess what? The most important thing you can do, as far as we know, for avoiding endocrine disruptors is avoiding those printed receipts at fast food restaurants and gas stations, etc., because you rub your hands on those printed receipts and get a ton of BPA, more than 1,000 times more than you'd absorb from a full plastic bottle made of BPA that was sitting in the sun and bathing with water. So it is those receipts that are most dangerous and that you get most absorption from, because you rub them against your, if you will, your mouth, your hands against your mouth, and you absorb that stuff. You put your hands on food, and then you bite into that apple or what other food, the French fries, and whether you or your kid get them, that's a high dose. When we come back, we're going to talk to celebrity chef from the TV Foods Network Chopped and restaurant owner Amanda Freitag. She's going to discuss managing food allergies, because she has some of her own, and so she's got real great experience with it. And we talked about the non-starchy vegetables. The more you eat, the less weight gain in a large study. So we've got that data as well that we went over in the first hour. Heart effects of saturated fat depend on whether you substitute for the saturated fat with polyunsaturated and omega-3 fats, or whether you substitute for it with sugar stuff. If you substitute for the saturated fats with sugar stuff, the saturated fat doesn't protect your heart. Getting rid of it doesn't protect your heart because you've had sugar, which will kill you. On the other hand, if instead of having saturated fat, you have omega-3 fats like canola oil or walnuts or flaxseed, or omega-9 fats like olive oil, you actually decrease your risk of weight gain and decrease the aging of your body and improve your own health and decrease your risk of heart disease as well as cancer. So those are things to consider. We also talked about adding plums to your diet. Adding plums to your diet decreases colon cancer risk substantially. Why does it do it? It changes your microbiome, the bacteria. You know, we couldn't do a show without mentioning microbiome. Well, your microbiome is the bacteria inside you, and just in a short period of time, in under a week of taking a prune a day or dried plums, or of changing in the bad way of having a egg yolk or having more than 4 ounces of red meat, that changes the bacteria and it gives you more formiculites, less Bacteroides. You want the Bacteroides species. And in fact, if you look at most probiotics, they have the Bacteroides species with them. That's what you really want is Bifidobacteria and Bacteroides. Those are good things from a standpoint of decreased aging. Bacteroides, of course, every one of the bacteria can turn harmful, turn coat on you, but usually the friendly fire is Bifidobacteria and Lactobacillus and Bacteroides. The bad species is those Formiculi species. So that's why it appears that plums are so beneficial at decreasing colon cancer rates. I'm going quickly, obviously, now because I'm trying to hit all these stories. I don't like it when I can't get to all the stories. Get them dirty. How? Yep. Study links asthma to low levels of gut bacteria in the first 100 days of the newborn. So in your first 100 days, take your newborn to the zoo or expose them to dirt, plus do breastfeeding and other things so they get enough dirty so they have a variety of bacteria inside their gut, which allows them to not develop asthma later in life. We'll come back to that theory if you want later on. You can just email us. Trump needs Bloomberg is a story I put out. It's not a story in the literature, it's my own story. Trump needs someone who can talk about healthcare because healthcare is the biggest expense that we have, the biggest industry we have. It's bigger than building and real estate. And we need to control it because otherwise it's taken over and we can't control it. Remember, if you do 6 behaviors or get 6 end points, normal blood pressure, normal LDL cholesterol, normal fasting blood sugar, normal waist for height, you have no creatinine in your urine and you get normal immunization rate, you will have, in fact, a 80 to 90% reduction in your risk of heart disease, stroke, and chronic diseases over the next 28 years. What does that mean? We have to take that, and that's really important for making America great again. So if Trump really wants to do this, he'll get Bloomberg to be his partner on the ticket if he ever gets that far. And whether he gets that far or not, I would love Bloomberg on the ticket. Yeah, he's gotten some bad advice with the salt, but he did really well with tobacco cessation and patrolling it in New York. He did really well at making sure people understood the importance of avoiding sugary drinks. And that comes from another story in this week's Best Stories. This is a sweetened drink, as little as 1 12-ounce can of sweetened pop or soda or a fruit drink, and I said fruit drink, not juice, but a fruit drink, increases your risk of heart disease by 13%, 2 by 35%, and stroke by about 15%. Really amazing data if you look at the literature that little extra amount of sugar can change the way you function and your body functions. You're listening, of course, to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. When we come back, we've got Celebrity Chef. You won't want to miss this. Amanda Freitag, who will talk about her own adventures with food allergies, what she does to prevent them, what she does to prevent a serious effect from them. She'll be right here on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. And again, next week, we again have another live show and a great guest lined up for you. But stay tuned for this great guest, Amanda Freitag, food allergies.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Michael Roizen, MD.
RadioMD.com.
Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike. We're talking with Amanda Freitag, the TV celebrity chef from the Food Network's Chopped. And she's a restaurant owner as well. She ended up with a food allergy. But before we get there, Amanda, thanks for coming on. And, of course, your website is Amanda Freitag, F-R-E-I-T-A-G. Is that right?
That's correct.
So the E comes before the I.
E before the I, but it's pronounced Fry.
Freitag, sorry. And tell me, first of all, what your favorite food is and what your favorite dinner would be if you could have anything cooked by anyone, including yourself.
Wow, that's a hard one. I cook a lot of different foods and eat a lot of different foods. I mean, I think a fresh pasta dish cooked somewhere in Tuscany by a local chef would probably be my go-to last meal.
And not delivered overseas, but you are there.
Yes. I want to be there. It makes a difference if you're sitting in the middle of, you know, the Tuscan sun eating pasta than if you are in your home alone.
But it is, of course. And the Tuscan sun is best in June. I go there periodically with
beautiful.
A friend of mine who rents a house for the month of June there.
You're a lucky man.
John Malden, and of course there's great wine every night. As well as touring the countryside, and he has a local chef come in and cook every day for dinner.
Oh, man. That sounds like fun.
So I'm used to exactly what you said, and I have to teach them about whole grain pasta because they don't do that commonly. In any case, how did you happen to get in the role of a spokesperson for food allergies? What happened to you? Take us back.
Yes, I will. I'm partnering with Mylan as a spokesperson for EpiPen on Location initiative, and as a chef, you know, obviously.
So we ought to tell people. We ought to tell people EpiPenOnLocation.com is a website that they can go to find out more about food allergies and EpiPen use. Go ahead.
That's correct. And so, you know, for me, I was first diagnosed with potentially life-threatening severe allergy to hazelnuts about 6 years ago. And my allergist performed a series of tests, diagnosed me with this allergy to hazelnuts. And at first I was nervous about talking to other people, letting them know that I had a severe allergy because food is my life. It's part of my personal and professional life, and I was worried about not having the freedom to eat anything I wanted. And the more I started talking about it, the more I realized how common it is to have a food allergy. Although I've not experienced anaphylaxis, I know that I have to have an action plan, you know, that would have me, you know, I take care of myself, right? The name of your show is My Owner's Manual. Is that what it is?
It's You, the Owner's Manual.
You, the Owner's Manual. I love that title. So, you know, in my owner's manual, I have this plan. So I have to avoid the allergen. I have to recognize my symptoms. And
So let's go back. Hazelnuts, do they sneak in with other nuts? How do you? First of all, if you're trying to avoid them, do they give a chef, if you go out to eat, do you give a chef a card and say, nothing with exposure to hazelnuts? How sensitive is it for you?
It's a severe allergy, potentially life-threatening. So I speak to the chef. I speak to the restaurant when I make a reservation. I speak to the waiter when I'm there. You know, as a chef who has diners come into her restaurant, I always want any diner who has an allergy to talk about it, to tell us. Tell us when you make the reservation. Tell us when you sit down for dinner. The more information, the better. You know, with hospitality industry, right? We want them to have a good time. We don't want anybody to get sick. And we are very aware of food allergies in the current culinary climate, and we're very accommodating to them, and especially coming from me, a chef that does have allergies.
Now, when was the first time you... And first of all, how common are hazelnuts?
in my industry, hazelnuts are very common. They could be in a mix of nuts. They could be used in an area where other nuts are being used. They could be used in that very famous chocolate hazelnut spread. I don't know if I can say the brand name, but they're...
Go to it.
Nutella.
So it's in that spread, and so that spread is used in, I suppose, some baked goods, and as well as, I've even seen it on a spread on a table in place of butter,
sure.
Even at some restaurants.
Sure. So,
and,
you know,
and
it's
so
very
it's
prevalent.
Routinely there.
That's correct. So I have to be careful.
And so, even though you're trying to avoid it, it's possible you could get it from either a utensil got contaminated. In a severe allergy, it doesn't take much of that protein. So we're allergic to proteins, and so it's the protein in the hazelnut that causes you to have a reaction to it. And
yeah.
We're prone to, in severe allergies, it just takes a pinful of it, literally, to potentially set it off.
That's correct.
So what do you do if, can you feel it coming on? Have you ever had this occur since the initial time?
Right. You know, I've never experienced anaphylaxis myself, but I do have a life-threatening severe allergy. So, you know, like I was saying before, I mean, I have a plan, you know, and like I was saying, tell your waiter, tell the restaurant, avoid the allergic thing. That's first step, right? And now you're talking about symptoms. I've been very aware of allergic symptoms since I was a kid. My, you know, other people in my family have allergies. So you have to recognize those signs and symptoms when, if anything was to occur. And then I am a chef, and so preparation is everything. So having access to two EpiPen auto-injectors is the way I prepare. You know, and of course, if anaphylaxis was to occur, the, you know, what you do is seek medical attention right away.
Well, now, you carry one in your purse, I assume.
That's correct.
Before this occurred to you, would you have had one in your restaurant?
No. No.
So I would expect that most restaurants would not have something like this.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for restaurants, but, you know, for me, it's just my personal preparedness, you know, that I'm talking about. And, you know, I've opened a lot of doors for other people who maybe want to be a chef that might have an allergy, or other people who go to restaurants that have an allergy and might feel shy about talking about their allergy. So my goal is to talk about what my experience is as a chef. And, you know, honestly, everybody's experience is different. As you know, as a doctor, you recommend to your patient to talk to your doctor, right, about what's the right treatment for you. You know, make sure they know what your medications are. Like you asked me about penicillin. You know, if I have an allergy to penicillin, I talk about, you know, other medicines that I'm taking, you know. And then, of course, because not everybody knows how to do this, your doctor teaches you how to administer the EpiPen in your outer thigh. So your doctor is your go-to person. Like, you are a doctor, so you know that. You know, as patients, we look to you to help us live our lives, you know, with your advice.
And what I'm really so curious, and the reason I brought up the fact that most restaurants probably wouldn't have this, is it really is the individual who has the anaphylactic reaction possibility, that is you,
that's
in
correct.
This case, or whoever's got the allergy, to prepare themselves, maybe even prepare the person they're with to say, if this happens, this is what we should all do, just like all of us are, or many of us are trained in a Heimlich maneuver, while those who come with someone who's got a large risk of having an anaphylactic reaction should know that she or he has a EpiPen that has an automatic injector with them. When we come back, I'm going to talk more with Amanda Freitag, the TV celebrity chef and managing food allergies.
com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Michael Roizen, MD. Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike. We're talking with TV celebrity chef, food from Food Network's Chopped, and restaurant owner Amanda Freitag, discussing food allergies and her own allergy and being prepared for it when she goes to a restaurant. Amanda, you also had this week your first cookbook launch.
That's correct.
The Chef Next Door. Is that right?
Very exciting. Very, very exciting.
Tell me the theory behind The Chef Next Door. What did you try and do with the book for those of us who buy it?
Well, it's a love letter to the home cook that basically is a confessional of a pro chef saying how I admire cooks who cook at home without, you know, a stack of pots and pans, without prep cooks, and without, you know, 30,000 BTUs of gas. So it's me learning how to cook in my home kitchen instead of a restaurant kitchen and then passing off some advice. So I really encourage people to buy it because it's a lot of really accessible recipes that are fun and easy.
And how many of them are made with hazelnuts?
Haha, doctor, you're funny. None of the recipes in my book have hazelnuts in them.
So, and that's because you have probably a severe allergy to it. You do have a severe allergy to it. You had a severe reaction to it. And I would assume that you can't cook with hazelnuts as well as don't eat them.
That's
and
right.
That's
I don't
because
cook
you
or
can
eat.
Probably absorb some of the protein through your skin.
That's right. I completely avoid them.
And
that's what I'm talking about, awareness for allergies, and that's why I partnered with Mylan to do this campaign, and I highly recommend to anybody who is interested in learning more to go to EpiPenOnLocation.com, and there's a lot of info on there, and there's a lot of safety info on there. So that's really what, you know, I want to open the doors for people to learn about. That's why I'm doing this thing. You know, obviously in my book there are no hazelnuts, and there's a lot of, you know, allergen-free recipes, but that's not why I wrote the book, but that you can get the book as well, and you want to learn about food allergies, go to EpiPenOnLocation.com.
Now, the concept is the first thing you do when you feel one of these going on is you say, if someone has... accidentally, or there's something with hazelnuts in a recipe, or let's talk about the common ones, of course, are peanuts and egg protein and some soy protein. There are 8 common ones that are listed on any package that has any of the 8. But yeah. Hazelnuts isn't one of the common allergens.
Well,
so it might not
it
even
falls under the tree nuts category. So it's milk, eggs, tree nuts, peanuts, fish shellfish, and soy and wheat. And even if those things don't fall in that category, you can still have a food allergy to something that's not in those categories. Those
correct. And so what you've... So one of the things that if something were to happen and you feel yourself, you know, when you're going to have an anaphylactic reaction, that is, people feel a sense of, and the good news, Amanda, you haven't had it a second time, is that correct?
I've never experienced anaphylaxis myself, but I know that I need a plan, and I need to know how to recognize the signs and symptoms of anaphylaxis. So, you know, that's why I have access to EpiPen auto-injectors at all times, but, you know, obviously, you would seek emergency medical care.
Right, and until you get there, if you find what happens with people is they feel a immediate sense of impending doom, and that's because they have released all of their potential weapons against the allergen. Both to knock it out and their body in fighting the reaction. What you do is you then have a process that causes swelling of your, what we call the tissue-mean cells, which can cause a closing or narrowing of your throat. and as well as leakage of fluid out of your cardiovascular system. One of the best ways, the best way we know of trying to stop that process is with a higher dose of epinephrine, and the myelin auto-injector, or the EpiPen on location, is something that allows even people who don't know anything about medicine or anything, they've never injected anything into anything, they can, one, there are ways in pharmacies of practicing it, and two, of when you get, so when you get the prescription, you can learn to practice it. And secondly, this is really life-saving for those who have a life-threatening reaction, especially if you're not in the immediate vicinity of a hospital emergency room or a place where you can get cared for immediately. Has this ever happened in your restaurant to someone else?
Luckily, no. I've never had a diner experience that.
I can tell you that as someone, when in my youth, we used to, I used to be involved in what was called injections with radio-opaque dye, or dye for, if you will, X-rays, or the what we call the angiographic part, the part that shows blood vessels, mm-hmm. and use a dye with iodine in it.
Right,
iodine also is associated, it's the cause of the fish allergies. And so, interestingly enough, we, in doing, I ran cardiovascular anesthesia for a while at UC San Francisco, out in San Francisco, and a patient had to get the dye. We knew he had the potential, and sure enough, he went into anaphylaxis. We treated it, and somehow one of the other medicines he was also had an anaphylactic reaction to, one of the things that we were stabilizing him with, and so I got to treat it twice in one day on one person, which is more than you ever want to do, because from a physician standpoint, it's a very scary thing to treat as well, since you know how close the person is to closing off their airway and not being able to get oxygen into their lungs. And it's more than closing off the airway, because closing off the airway, you could do a tracheotomy or something else in an emergency to get air in if you're lucky enough, or get a endotracheal tube into their bronchus. But because they have this reaction throughout their body, their lungs swell up with fluid as well. And again, the epi from the EpiPen is a important thing. Give us the website once more, Amanda.
EpiPenOnLocation.com.
EpiPen on location. We got to thank Amanda Freitag, celebrity chef, restaurant owner, author of The Chef Next Door. Get it and learn some great recipes. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.